right. So today we're gonna deep dive into something I know a lot of you have been asking about. High temperature deformation in plastic injection molded parts.
Right.
You sent over a really, really helpful article. It's called "What Are the Solutions to High Temperature Deformation in Plastic Injection Molded Parts?"
Yes.
And it's got a lot of great information, and I'm excited to get into it with you.
Yeah, me too.
So I guess just to kick things off, I mean, obviously if a part deforms under heat, it can really compromise a product, right?
Absolutely. It can't, I mean, product quality, reliability, everything goes out the window if the part doesn't hold its shape.
Yeah, it's got to be a huge problem for manufacturers.
It is a huge problem, and you know, it's something that we have to really consider.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I guess let's start with something that might seem kind of basic, but I think it's worth exploring.
Okay.
Material selection.
Yeah.
You know, you're making these parts. What kind of impact does the type of plastic have on, you know, whether it can withstand heat?
It has a huge impact. I mean, it's really the foundation of everything.
Right.
You can't just pick any plastic and expect it to perform well at high temperatures.
So it's not just about picking a strong plastic then.
Right. You know, you think about strength, but it's more nuanced than that.
Okay.
Different plastics have different, what we call heat deformation temperatures, which is essentially like their melting point.
Okay.
Some plastics will start to soften and deform at really low temperatures,
Interesting.
while others can withstand incredibly high temperatures.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I guess you wouldn't use like a, you know, a plastic bag
Right.
to make something that's going to go in the engine of a car.
Exactly. You'd want something much more robust.
Yeah, the article mentions this thing called crystallinity. What
Yes.
is that?
So crystallinity refers to how the molecules within the plastic are arranged.
Okay.
Think about it like this. In a crystalline structure, the molecules are very ordered, almost like soldiers in formation. This tight arrangement makes the plastic stronger and more resistant to heat.
So basically, the more crystalline the structure, the better it is at handling heat.
Generally, yes, but
Okay.
there's always a butcher.
Okay.
High crystallinity plastics, while they're great at resisting heat, they can also have more internal stress,
Nah.
which can actually lead to deformation.
Oh, so it's kind of like it's a trade-off.
Exactly. It's a balancing act.
Okay. The article even mentions low performance versus high performance
Yeah.
plastics. What's the difference? I mean, especially when it comes to heat.
So low performance plastics typically have lower crystallinity. They're
Right.
usually easier to process and they're more cost effective, but they have limited heat resistance.
Yeah.
High performance plastics tend to have higher crystallinity and can withstand much higher
But
temperatures.
those are probably more expensive, right?
They often are, yes.
Right.
But sometimes spending a little bit more on a heat resistant material up front can save you a lot of headaches later on.
For sure. For
Yeah.
sure. So, okay, let's say we've picked our material.
Okay.
We know what we want.
We've got our plastic,
We've got our plastic.
right?
What about the actual injection molding process itself?
Right.
Is it really as simple as just like melt it and squirt it into the mold?
Well, it sounds simple, but there's actually a lot more to it than you might think.
Okay.
It's not just melting and squirting. Let's talk about injection temperature, for example.
Okay.
If you inject the plastic at too high a temperature, you can degrade the material.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of like burning a delicate sauce. If you overheat it, it's ruined.
Yeah.
And this degradation can weaken the plastic and make it more susceptible to deformation later on.
Yeah, they got to be careful.
You have to be very precise.
So finding the right temperature is key. What about the cooling process?
Right.
Does that play a role?
Absolutely. Cooling is just as important as heating.
Okay.
Just like a cake cooling unevenly can crack or sink, uneven cooling in plastic parts can cause warping and deformation. The key is uniform cooling.
Got it.
And that often involves strategically designing the cooling system within the mold itself.
So there's a whole other level of engineering that goes into that.
There's a lot of science and engineering that goes into it.
Yeah, this is making me realize how complex it is.
It's more than just melting and
For
squirting.
sure. The article also mentioned this thing called holding time.
Yes.
What is that?
So holding time is the period where the molten plastic is held under pressure in the mold after injection.
Oh.
Think of it like giving the plastic time to settle into its final shape.
So it hardens up in the right way.
Exactly. It helps ensure uniform density and minimizes shrinkage, which in turn reduces warping.
Wow. So every step in the process has a huge impact on the final product.
Every step matters.
Do you have any like real-world examples of how this all comes together?
Oh, absolutely. There are tons of examples. The article mentions one case with an automotive component. It had a complex shape and it was prone to uneven cooling. They were having all sorts of deformation issues.
Oh no.
They ended up switching to a higher performance plastic with a higher heat deformation temperature. They optimized the injection temperature and redesigned the cooling system in the mold.
Wow.
And the result was a dramatic reduction in deformation rates.
That's amazing how those seemingly small changes can make such a big difference.
It's all about understanding the science and the engineering behind the process.
So we've talked about the material and we've talked about the process.
Right.
What else can affect how well a part withstands heat?
Well, even with the perfect material and a perfectly tuned injection molding process, a poorly designed part can still deform under heat. It's like building a house on a shaky foundation. You know, the materials might be strong, but the structure itself is going to be compromised.
So design is key.
Design is absolutely crucial.
What are some of the things you have to keep in mind when you're designing these parts?
Well, one of the most important things is wall thickness. You want to make sure that the wall thickness is uniform throughout the part. Uneven wall thickness can lead to uneven cooling and internal stresses,
Oh, I see.
which makes the part more likely to warp.
It's kind of like cooking a steak, right?
Exactly. If you have a really thick steak, the outside might be cooked while the inside is still raw.
So you want that nice even cook.
Exactly. You want everything to cool and solidify at the same rate.
Does the article give any specific recommendations on like how to get the right wall thickness?
It does. There are guidelines for different wall thicknesses, from thin to standard to thick.
Got it.
It helps you choose the optimal thickness for your application.
So it's not one size fits all.
No, definitely not. It depends on the part and what it's going to be used for.
What about the actual shape of the part?
Shape is super important too.
Okay.
You want to keep things as simple as possible.
Interesting. Why is that?
Well, complex geometries, while they might look cool,
Yeah, they can be pretty fancy.
they can introduce stress concentrations.
What does that mean?
Imagine a chain with a weak link.
That weak link is where the chain is most likely to break.
Right?
Stress concentrations are like weak points in the part.
I see.
They make the part more susceptible to deformation under heat.
So simpler is better.
Simpler is often better when it comes to resisting deformation.
What about ribs? I know those are used a lot to add strength.
Ribs can be great for adding strength,
Yeah.
but you have to be careful about where you put them.
Okay.
If they're not placed strategically, they can actually act as stress concentrator.
Oh, so they can backfire.
That can work against you if you're not careful.
The article mentioned something about rib thickness.
Yes, it provides guidelines on rib thickness relative to wall thickness.
Okay.
You want to make sure the ribs are strong enough to do their job, but not so thick that they create stress points.
So it's all about balance again.
It's always about finding the right balance.
I'm guessing nowadays they have computer programs that can help with all this,
Oh, yeah, for sure.
like to predict how a part's going to behave.
Absolutely. We have amazing simulation tools now.
That's got to be
They're
helpful.
incredibly helpful. One of the most powerful tools is finite element analysis.
Okay, I've heard of that.
It allows engineers to create virtual models of parts
Well,
and see how they'll perform under different conditions, like high temperatures.
so you can test it before you even make it.
Exactly. It's
Yeah.
like having a crystal ball. You
Wow.
can predict how the part will behave before you even spend the time and money to manufacture it.
So we've covered material, the molding process and design. Is there anything you can do after a part is made?
There are actually some things you can do after manufacturing
Okay.
to further minimize the risk of deformation.
Like what?
Well, one common technique is called annealing.
Annealing. Isn't that for metal?
It is used for metal, but it can also be used for plastics.
Oh, interesting. How does that work?
So when a plastic part cools down after molding, it can have some internal stresses locked inside.
Okay.
Imagine it like little tiny springs that are all coiled up and ready to release their energy.
So there's still tension in the part.
Exactly. And that tension can lead to deformation over time.
So how does annealing help?
Annealing involves heating the part to a specific temperature, holding it there for a certain amount of time,
Okay.
and then slowly cooling it back down.
So it's kind of like a spa treatment for the plastic.
That's a good way to put it. It gives the plastic a chance to relax and release those stresses.
And that makes it less likely to deform.
Absolutely. Annealing can significantly improve a part's dimensional stability
Okay.
and make it much more resistant to warping or cracking.
So it's a good thing to do if you're worried about heat.
It's definitely something to consider, especially if the part is going to be exposed to high temperatures.
Are there any other techniques like that?
Another important technique is humidity conditioning.
Humidity conditioning. What's that?
Well, some plastics are what we call hygroscopic,
Okay.
which means they tend to absorb moisture from the air.
Oh, like a sponge.
Exactly. And when they absorb moisture, they can swell and warp.
So how do you prevent that?
That's where humidity conditioning comes in.
Okay.
You basically expose the part to a controlled humidity environment.
Interesting.
This allows the plastic to absorb a predetermined amount of moisture.
So it's like pre-soaking it.
In a way, yes. It's like giving it a preview of its future environment.
So when it's actually used, it won't absorb any more moisture.
Exactly. It will already be in equilibrium with its surroundings.
That's pretty clever.
It's a simple but effective way to prevent warping and dimensional changes.
The article has a table that summarizes both of those techniques.
Yes, it's a really helpful table.
It shows the benefits and the things you need to consider.
It's a good starting point for deciding which technique is right for your application.
This has been a super informative deep dive.
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
We've learned so much about preventing high temperature deformation.
It's a fascinating topic.
We've talked about material selection, the injection molding process design, and even post-processing
It's
techniques.
all connected.
It really is. It's like a puzzle.
And you have to put all the pieces together to get the best result.
Before we wrap up, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the future of all this.
Well, I think the future is really bright for plastics.
All right.
We're seeing so much innovation in materials and processing techniques.
Like what kinds of things?
Well, for one thing, new high-performance polymers are being developed all the time.
Okay.
So we can create parts that can handle even higher temperatures.
Why?
And the injection molding technology itself is getting more and more precise.
Uh-huh.
So we can make really complex parts with incredible accuracy.
So the future's like more and more complex shapes.
Yeah, I think so.
But they'll be able to withstand the heat. What about
Exactly.
sustainability?
Right.
I mean, everyone's talking about eco-friendly materials these days.
That's a huge area of focus.
Yeah.
There's a lot of research going into bio-based and biodegradable plastics.
Interesting.
Imagine a future where we have high-performance parts
Yeah.
that are not only strong and heat-resistant, but also environmentally friendly.
That would be amazing.
It would be a game changer.
So it's not just about performance then.
Right.
It's about responsibility too.
Exactly. It's
Yeah.
about finding solutions that meet our needs without compromising the planet.
Well, this has been a really eye-opening deep dive.
It has been a fascinating discussion.
We've covered so much ground.
We have.
Material selection, injection, molding, design, post-processing.
It's all part of the bigger picture.
It's amazing how much goes into making these parts.
It's a complex
What is
process.
also really fascinating.
It is.
Before we go, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought.
Okay.
Now that we understand all these challenges, what kind of crazy new solutions can we come up with
Right.
to minimize deformation even further?
That's a great question.
Maybe some kind of hybrid material
Ooh.
that combines plastic with something else, like
Interesting.
ceramic or metal,
That's a cool idea.
or maybe even self-healing polymers.
Self-healing polymers.
Yeah.
That could repair damage at a microscopic level.
Imagine that.
That would be incredible.
So there's still a lot to explore.
Definitely.
This deep dive is just the beginning.
It's a starting point.
So keep learning, keep asking questions, and keep pushing the boundaries.
Absolutely.
Until next time, happy engineering.
Happy engineering.